Thirsty? You've come to the right place to wet your whistle. It's the Liquid Lifestyle with Ryan McGarian, a full hour of liquid refreshment. Now, here's Ryan. Everybody was dancing in
the moonlight. What's cracking, my thirsty listener? All right, so the sound of my voice is flowing into your ears like a complex and comforting cup of single-origin Ethiopian coffee. You know that you're riding the earth with me here at the Liquid Lifestyle on the Radio Northwest Network. And as always, I am your host and on-air bartender, Ryan McGarian, where today, and if you're joining us for the very first time, actually, our show is generally dedicated to all things liquid and delicious. Specifically, we love talking spirits and cocktails, beers, wines, coffee, and tea, with occasional forays into other spaces that I think that you, my liquid listener, might enjoy, along with, of course, the fine folks and joints that serve all these bad boys up, be them right here in the city of Roses, Hops, and Hipsters, or, as you might have experienced in past episodes, parts far, far beyond. All right, so today, as you can hear from the hustle and bustle in the background, we are on location just east of what I call the Willamette Ocean at one of the world's great coffee roaster slash cafes, and that, of course, is Water Avenue Coffee. And you know that if we're doing a show at WAC, you know we're going to be strolling through the fields of deliciousness with the man behind the beans at Water Avenue himself, and that, of course, is our good friend and coffee superstar, Matt Mileto. Matt, how the heavens are you this afternoon?
Ryan, I'm excellent. Thank you so much for being here and coming down to the cafe, and really excited.
Dude, so good to be here, man. Every time I come into this place, man, the vibe is just jumping, man. People enjoying world-class coffee, people enjoying fellowship with each other. It's just a good vibe, man. One day, dude, I want to have the fortune to get into the coffee business myself because I just love the energy of places like this. But, man, we have so much to talk about today. I mean, you've had such a great career already, and you're only, what, 22? No, I'm just kidding. I know we're about the same age, but, man, your resume is really incredible. But before we get into that, and a little background for you, my liquid listener, you know, Portland is really gone through a renaissance on all levels when it comes to the culinary space. Obviously, with food, we've seen it in cocktails and wine and beer, but probably no place more than coffee. And Matt, you know, you've been a huge part of that. But before we talk about the renaissance in your baby Water Avenue, where'd you come from, man? I mean, where'd you grow up? Give us the scoop.
Absolutely. Well, I'm one of the rare native Oregonians, I feel, here in Portland. I grew up in the woods. My father, who's also been very influential in the coffee industry, was a potter, ceramics. I grew up, you know, running through ferns and digging in mud and building forts and truly embracing Oregon on a great, you know, level of creeks and trees, and moved into Eugene, Oregon when I was about 10 to go to school. And
eat some Tracktown pizza, of course.
Tracktown pizza, absolutely. And grew up in Eugene. Went to college here in Oregon as well. And then...
Where'd you go to college?
You know, having grown up in Eugene, I wanted to stay in state. I didn't want to live in my parents' basement, per se, and go to college. So I went to the beautiful school of Oregon State University. Agriculture, you know, was beautiful. I was one of maybe six art majors. So with small classes, I had a lot of time to really explore my artistic side. I majored in photography and philosophy, and here I am in the coffee industry now, so it worked out well. I did also spend a year, which was the highlight of my college career, was a year in Italy, which was very influential also in me choosing coffee as a path, but truly immersing myself in the culture there, going to school, studying art, seeing art. It was pretty awesome.
So Italy was definitely, would you say it was your Italian time, vacation, sabbatical experience, whatever you want to call it? Was that where the coffee bug really bit you?
Definitely one of the first. When I was 10 years old, I went for a month-long backpacking trip with my father all throughout Europe. And his Italian heritage took us all throughout Italy, meeting and, you know, visiting his relatives. But I think that was probably my first great cup of coffee at about 10 years old, traveling in Italy. It's obviously a great experience, but yeah, I was hooked. You know, my father had been, you know, in coffee a little bit back then, but it was kind of that first memory I have of what drinking coffee in a cafe was like, you know, and this was 28 years ago, and truly special. So that was definitely part of it.
Well, it sounds like, I know that I'm pretty similar. I can remember all the genesis moments in my own journey with regards to spirits and cocktails. It sounds like you have that clarity. You remember what was that? Was that just a cup of coffee? Was that an espresso? Do you remember? Can you picture the experience like it was yesterday?
Yes, I think I also had my first beer when I was 10 in Europe. But I remember drinking cappuccino and not really having ever experienced anything like that. And it was just such a regular part of our days when we were traveling that, yeah, I'll never forget it. And whenever I go back to Italy, it's just absolutely awesome to kind of re-experience that feeling.
Wow. So once again, we're chatting with Matt Mileto on location at Water Avenue Coffee on none other than Water Avenue, just east of the Willamette Ocean. If you haven't been over here, make it a point to do so. This place is just epic. But this Italian trip really influences you. You, unlike most young kids here in America, you got to see other parts of the world at a very early age. What's your first, talk to me about your first coffee gig.
So my very first role and job in coffee was as a barista when I was about 14, and again my father had opened coffee bars in Eugene. He had one here in Portland, and so my first role was kind of filling in shifts when people would call in sick, maybe working the weekends and holidays, and but getting some training at an early time in coffee. And I loved the cultural aspect of it. One of my roles was at an espresso cart where I was the only employee. I had to learn at a young age the responsibility of opening, closing the business. And then I realized that I looked forward to going to work every day because it was fun to make coffee and whatnot, but it was truly these relationships that were developed in regular customers, and they all thought I was great since I was just a kid. But there's something about that social aspect of coffee that I just fell in love with. I went on to also manage different coffee bars throughout college. I've worked pretty much every role in food service, from back of house, prep chef. I spent some time actually bartending with Jeff Morgenthaler at a bar called Bamboo in Eugene. Where mainly I was prepping for Jeff, but working his days off, and then kind of took that role as he moved on into other bars. So a little Portland history.
Yeah, and if you've listened to the show, we talk a lot about how baristas and bartenders kind of go, I mean, the two professions really align nicely. You know, I know that I've hired a ton of baristas over in my time for bartending gigs, and I know bartenders who are baristas. So it's a very close-knit community, and that's pretty cool that you got to work with Jeffrey. So that's down in Eugene, right?
That was in Eugene, yes. So I moved away to school, was walking by a coffee bar that was about to open and kind of peeked my head in. This is about 1997, 98, and there was a artist couple that had moved up from LA. And I said, "Are you guys opening a coffee bar?" "Yeah, you know." I said, "Do you know anything about coffee?" They're like, "No, but we love coffee." And so I ended up coming on board as their manager and worked there for almost a couple years before I went to Italy. And their business is still in operation. It's fantastic. It's kind of the little punk rock coffee bar with music and art called the Interzone. That was, you know, well over 10 years ago. After I got back from school in Italy, I moved back to Eugene. I didn't know what I wanted to do, and I had been studying art and photography and kind of landed a job in digital photography, and it's turned into website design. That turned into us starting our own little business, me and two other friends, doing web design, doing back-end development, creating
Got to jump in real quick, Matt. That's the end of the first round. This conversation's awesome. Hope you're enjoying it. We will get right back at you in just a moment. And welcome back to the Liquid Lifestyle here on the Radio Northwest Network. We hope, of course, you're enjoying a very peaceful and well-earned rest on your Saturday afternoon. And we're at Water Avenue Coffee, once again chatting with the Commissar, Matt Mileto. And in the first round, if you didn't catch us, Matt gave us a little background on how he entered the realm of coffee. And towards the very end of the last segment, you were talking about hitting a crossroads. You had, got the coffee bug through some of your European travels with your dad, some time spent in Italy, working in the industry. So let's kind of pick back up at that crossroads you were experiencing about 10 years ago back in Eugene.
So I had worked in web design for a while. I had started my own business with a couple friends. They moved to LA and continued on with their business and would fly me down to host parties and whatnot. And long story short, ended up selling their new business to AOL, which was a big success for them. Meanwhile, in Eugene, I was working still in web development, but I had kind of come full-time into working with my father again, doing websites, building our own websites, doing websites primarily for clients in the coffee industry. And really that, I just was fascinated again in coffee. I saw so much opportunity for growth, came on board full-time again to work with some of the clients of Bellissimo Coffee Advisors and work alongside my dad. After a few years, we together saw the this was still in Eugene. We saw the need to move to Portland. Really, Portland being kind of the epicenter of independent coffee. And we decided to open the American Barista and Coffee School, where we offered and have for the past 12 years week-long classes for people looking to open coffee bars. We then moved to Portland, brought most of the company with us, and really kind of planted roots here in the Central East Side. At a time where there was very little going on, Naomi had Clark Lewis across the street, and that was about it. There was parking everywhere, but it was a lot of fun, and we embraced Portland. For a few years, we operated the school. We just really enjoyed being a destination here in Portland for people to come and learn about coffee. What really inspired both Bruce and I about the coffee industry in Portland was our influence on retail, on education, but we definitely saw a big opportunity in 2008, 2009 as the economy was slowing down to diversify and for the first time get back into coffee retail and coffee roasting, and saw a great opportunity. The space that we're sitting in right now had been vacant for months. This was long before Bunk Bar was next door, Bokeh Bowl was here, the building was about half full. We took a leap of faith and signed a 5-year lease on this space and really decided to open Water Avenue Coffee through our passion for great coffee, great quality, and again, satisfying that social need of a coffee bar in an area that was in desperate need.
For sure. Once again, we're chatting with Matt Mileto from Water Avenue Coffee. And before before we get too far down the track, so to speak, with regards to Water Avenue, I'd love to learn a little bit more about this coffee school. I mean, you've been doing this for a long time. I mean, you're probably the Yoda of training coffee by now, without a doubt. Mercifully, you don't look like Yoda. And I got to tell you, like, is this a college that's, is it packed perennially? Like, are you just crushing that college? And what's a week like for some? I mean, is it just a full week of intense coffee training? What's it like to jump into the coffee college?
Well, I would say I'm more Luke Skywalker and my dad would be the Yoda. So my dad started Bellissimo 25 plus years ago with a passion for education and sold his retail operations, created books and videos on training, education for coffee, and really was a pioneer in the idea that there needed to be education behind great coffee at a time where you threw a neon espresso sign up and, you know, sold iced mochas and you were in business. He wanted to focus on the craft, the barista side and the quality side. And so the American Barista and Coffee School is a week-long course here in Portland where people fly from all over the world to really have a full immersion experience in coffee, in retail, and to develop a confidence and competency to open their own business, right? So a good part of our class is business 101, but developing systems, as you know, in the bar industry, in the restaurant industry, coffee's no different. You need to develop systems. It's a volume game. It's absolutely understanding everything from cost of goods to labor control, and then exploring the benefits of being part of the community, satisfying a social need, developing a culture within your business. So we really teach the A to Z how to open and operate your own independent business. We also work with a lot of larger businesses on barista training, quality control, etc. And so it's been a passion that's then overspilled into what we do here at Water Avenue for our clients.
Well, I got to ask you, because nothing like that really exists for bartenders. I actually think this sounds like a great thing for the bar industry or the cocktail space specifically. I know that so many young bartenders put their entire focus in their early years of learning specific product-oriented tools, but they just don't get the business side. And I see a lot of them open bars and aren't able to, that don't make it, because while they may make life-changing cocktails, they don't have the acumen. What percentage of that training would you think is business, and what percentage do you think is product?
The primary goal is for our students to leave confident with their concept and with the skills to develop that system necessary. Just like the bar industry, you can serve the most perfect cocktail as well as the most perfect executed espresso beverage, but if you don't know how to run your business, if you don't know how to maintain a great staff, if you don't know how to manage cost of goods, you just won't be in business. So it absolutely applies to multiple craft beverage industries as well as the culinary world.
That's so cool. I've just, you know, the layers of what you do are really exciting to me. And I just, you truly are an icon in your space, not only for the quality, but for your intellectual contribution. I'm always talking about how important, you know, having an intellectual contribution is in any culinary space. We are actually coming up on the end of our second round as we're talking once again to Matt Mileto, the proprietor of Water Avenue Coffee here on the in the East End, just over the Willamette Ocean. Hope you're enjoying a great Saturday. We'll be right back at you in a moment. And welcome back to the Liquid Lifestyle here on the Radio Northwest Network, where you're listening to me, your on-air bartender, Ryan McGarian, sitting here with my man Matt Mileto from Water Avenue Coffee. And as you can hear in the background, people are swilling. They're enjoying their coffee. They're enjoying their conversation. Looks like some people are kind of getting a little bit of work done. But that's the thing about these modern coffee houses. They're like the day bars of our age, man. People are just enjoying each other. It's just, it's so cool to see. And in the last round, we were talking all about your coffee college, the academy you've created to help people develop coffee concepts. And you, when we broke off, you were going to talk about the online thing that you've been up to. Tell me about that.
Sure. So Bruce and I, who own the school, and Bruce and my father, who started Bellissimo, have always been proud of how we evolve in the industry, right? So as the industry changes, my most recent project, it's been about 2.5 years in the works, it just launched last week in its full version, is onlinebaristatraining.com. Again, it's in the spirit of those initial videos that we'd put out back in the 90s of how do we reach out to as many people as possible and get them education that's affordable, that's consistent, that they can develop a training methodology. So we've developed a full online platform to really support coffee bars and baristas that don't have a lot of access to education or don't have a relationship maybe with a roaster that provides them adequate training, et cetera. But more so, it's also the business level of, again, running that business. Our true passion with the American Barista and Coffee School is to help people succeed in specialty coffee. It's our mission statement. That's what we do. So we've really tried to create a global way to offer that, and on an affordable level. We're also developing a custom branded version of that for our Water Avenue clients based on new curriculum that we're presenting to help them not only offer a consistent product, but to succeed as a business.
So cool, man. So I got to tell you, because we are moving right through this show, I think we got to spend most of the rest of the time talking about Water Avenue Coffee, because this is, when I say Matt Mulleto, in my circles, that's the first thing they think of, is they think of Water Avenue Coffee. You're one of the top roaster cafes in the country, if not the world. Tell me, you know, what do you think sets, I mean, in a really competitive market, what do you think sets Water Avenue apart? And what's unique about your coffee and your culture? You can take that anywhere you want to take it.
Sure. So as we know, there is so much great coffee here in Portland. Truly, what we focus on are the three pillars of what we feel make a coffee bar successful. Obviously, one thing we're very excited about and have spent a lot of focus on in the past year is our environment. So we are embracing the neighborhood. Our cafe is a toast to the history of the Central East Side. It's, you know, industrial. It's open. It's kind of a loft warehouse space. So we try to provide a great environment that satisfies the need of our customers. We have a very diverse clientele. We also offer a great menu. So our espresso coffee beverages, of course, are prepared with great detail. But again, we have a very diverse crowd that we also do offer a now substantial food menu that's curated around the quick service needs of our neighborhood that really does fill a gap that we've noticed. And then really what I think we really also try to focus on that doesn't necessarily make us different, but all three combined really offer a great experience, is our customer service. Everyone that we try to hire absolutely should love coffee, should love educating customers, and really we feel the experience that you have in the cafe is equal to or greater than as far as importance as the quality of the product.
Well, you are speaking the language of my tribe, as apparently Wild Bill Hickok used to say. You're talking ESP, my man. You're talking environment, service, product. And you've, so many of us try to apply it to bars and restaurants, you're absolutely applying it. And when you come in here to Water Avenue, you're going to see exactly what he's talking about. The room is dynamic, so much texture, so much thought into it. I've never had a remotely negative experience with regards to service. Everybody's friendly, everybody's professional, and of course your coffee is fantastic. And I want to talk a little bit about this food program that you've started, but before that, is there any particular region of coffee that's making coffee or particular roast that you're selling right now that you're particularly stoked about?
Well, we have a lot of great direct relationships with farmers that we've developed in the early stages and have year after year. Probably two of the most exciting offerings we have right now. One is our Pinot Noir aged El Salvador coffee. So this is truly a triple family effort, right? So it's my father and I, as Water Avenue in the roastery, are working with a coffee producer in El Salvador, family business, two brothers and their father that we've worked with for a number of years on sourcing the coffee. And then we have partnered with Sokol Blosser Winery, which is another family business, to really create something unique and consistent now throughout the year, to have this really kind of special celebration coffee. Another one of our coffees that I'm loving right now is our Blue Creek blend. This is a direct trade blend that we actually are partnering with OMSI, who's our Central East Side neighbor, to offer a 50-cent donation per bag that's sold to go back into supporting such a dynamic and influential experience that I cherished as a kid, being growing up as an OMSI kid and now being blocks away operating a business. So it's a really fun partnership there as well.
Dude, I was an OMSI kid too, man. I remember going over and was up over off Highway 26. They had that airplane out there. They had that planetarium. I know that's a South Park reference that maybe a few of you are going to pick up, but once again, we're chatting with Matt Mileto at Water Avenue Coffee. So let's talk about this food thing you're doing, man. I came in on your invitation last Thursday night with a friend, and dude, the food was outrageous, man. It's simple. It's so clean. I'd argue it's sessionable. Who's the dude behind it? And tell me about the philosophy about what he's cooking up.
Sure. So we've been fascinated with the global retail industry, and obviously here in Portland, we've led the industry in many ways in independent coffee and quality, but truly where we've, for years, see a great future in retail coffee is incorporating a wonderful food program. So we've developed a menu that's very Portland. It's based on seasonality. It's based on quality. But it's inspired by many of the cafes that we've seen in Melbourne and Sydney, also even some places in New York that are really satisfying that food need in a very well-curated way, in a small kitchen. This is just induction burners and maybe a ventless oven, but focusing on simple, clean, fresh, healthy flavors in a quick way. But again, it's not your big meal of the day. It's what will fuel you throughout the day. And we're super excited to see this evolve. Our chef, Ryan Kennedy, has worked in under Thomas Keller. He's worked in great restaurants here in Portland, also in the cafe environment. He's a true barista. He loves coffee. And he totally gets how we can do something special in Portland in food, which is not the easiest, but really create this great cafe environment and menu based around not great food alone, but how it's incorporated into great coffee.
And you mentioned Melbourne and the Australian coffee scene, and they're pretty darn good at incorporating the food element into their coffee experience. And I don't think there's one Australian coffee place that doesn't serve avocado toast. And I got to tell you, as I knew it would be, it was my favorite thing on the menu. But beyond avocado toast, what are some of your favorite food items?
Well, absolutely. Seasonality and freshness is key. Probably one of my favorite items right now is we're doing a Ayers Creek Amish butter polenta, topped with a poached egg and foraged mushrooms.
I totally had that. It was freaking delicious. And what I had to compliment the chef on that specifically, because polenta can get really heavy on you, and it was just perfect. I could eat it all day.
Yeah, so things that are not too heavy, absolutely. We want to start incorporating more seasonal specials. But again, it's food that you want to eat every day. And what we see so often in coffee bars is a very heavy pastry offering in the mornings, where I don't know about you, but I don't eat pastries every day.
Got to jump in there, Matt. That is the end of our third round. Loving this conversation. Hope you are too. We'll be right back at you in a moment. And welcome back to the Liquid Lifestyle here on the Radio Northwest Network, where you're listening to your on-air bartender, Ryan McGarrian, who is riding shotgun with Matt Mileto, the proprietor and coffee genius behind Water Avenue Coffee here just over the Willamette Ocean on the east side in the quickly developing East Industrial District. And man, this has been a great conversation. It's flown by. I want to talk a little bit about the wholesale aspect of what you do. Obviously, this cafe kills it. You've got your college, your coffee college, which does really, really well, but you sell a lot of coffee outside in the retail. Where's your focus, man? Are you trying to dominate the world market of craft coffee, or are you kind of staying closer to home?
Well, it's been really important to us to truly support the city that we love. And I would say 95% of our business is through developing great relationships with great partners here in the Portland market. I feel that there's an authenticity in what we do that is cherished and shared with other great pioneers of industry here in Portland. We love working with excellent restaurants, for example, and other chefs. We work with John Gorham on all of his properties to create a customized coffee experience at each different concept of his. You know, we have so many great clients. We're working with Kena at Bisaw's and the new Solo Club. Some cool information about to drop there. And we work with great bars, Bit House, and so many great coffee bars as well that we truly try to provide more than just a product. It's truly building a long-term relationship through support, through customer service, through equipment repair support, etc., that we really love to partner and develop these long-term relationships to help our clients succeed beyond just selling a product.
Yeah, you seem so dedicated to the community and the environment that you're in. Like, that's so cool, and I think that people recognize that about you. And in a town this competitive, I mean, Water Avenue, Cova, Ristretto, Roseline, Hart, I mean, I could go on and on and on. I mean, in the end, you're all making good coffee. It's just like saying between Jeffrey and Daniel and you know, Jesse and all the mini bartenders, everybody's making good cocktails. But in the end, you go to a bar, you align with the brand and a product because of the personality. And I think that your personality, the way you're doing things, has been pretty special. And you're reaping the rewards of that. I want to jump real quickly. Something about you becoming the president of the Oregon Coffee Board. That's pretty special, right?
Yeah, and you talk about competition and community. And again, there are so many great, excellent coffee roasters here in Portland. And we absolutely embrace that. We try to be a great ambassador. You know, everyone in our business, it's in our core values to be a great ambassador of coffee, to celebrate others' successes, et cetera, and support the industry. 2 years ago, Water Avenue and myself were integral in the development of the Oregon Coffee Board. It's a board of volunteer board. It's a nonprofit of a lot of built by a lot of other coffee roasters. You know, we've developed a way to channel and truly educate, I feel, the consumer, and as well as supporting the idea of community over competition through the Oregon Coffee Board. And I'm currently the vice president and look forward to taking on the presidency next year, assuming I get nominated and voted for. But yeah, it's truly, again, it's creating a resource for the community, for baristas, for other roasters through events, monthly meetings. It's developing. Mark at Portland Roasting has been integral in developing the first educational series for members of the Oregon Coffee Board or non-members, and that's coming up April 23rd, I believe, where we're doing a fire prevention and safety maintenance all-day class for members and non-members. We'll be doing four of those educational experiences throughout the year. But again, it's supporting the community, and it is a competitive industry, but again, keeps us all on our toes, and it keeps, you know, a rising tide floats all boats, I feel, to where we can be all pushing for the same results and really cherishing how Oregon has been a pioneer in coffee. You know, from the days Duane started Stumptown, there's been something special about Oregon, and we're all kind of still figuring out what that is. Maybe it's the water, maybe it's all the beer and wine that we drink after we drink coffee, but it's a great city.
Tell you what, man, competition and collaboration equals deliciousness in this industry, and I have noticed that. Y'all seem to be friends. I don't hear, you know, I go to all the different spots because I'm a coffee fanatic, and I never hear anything negative talked between the houses, which is stunning to me because it's a, man, look, all us artists, we can get pretty egotistical and fearful of people infringing on our space. So isn't that pretty special that the community's that tight?
Absolutely. That's one of the things I love, not only about the coffee community as a whole, but it is a little different, you know, and there's you know, beer, wine, etc. Most places serve one coffee, don't have a tap of six.
Dude, gotta jump in. That's the end of the show, man. So good hanging with you, Matt. Once again, you have enjoyed the Liquid Lifestyle on the Radio Northwest Network. We'll get back at you next time.